Hello and welcome everyone to a very special episode of The Publisher Lab. I am Tyler Bishop and joined with me today is nobody. Nobody is joined with me today because this is a, like I mentioned before, a special episode. We've teased this a few times so far and I've mentioned it in past episodes and got a little feedback, but wasn't really sure. But I know my audience pretty well and I thought that what might be fun here at the end of the year, instead of doing a boring old, you've heard me talk about it before, but like, you know, a best of episode or something like that. I mean, those things always suck. So I thought maybe let's do something fun. Let's go through all the tools and, you know, I guess web development, content creation, just about everything you can think of, innovations, tools, practices, things like that, that I came across either this year or readily find myself using more and more as time goes on, that I think are going to be relevant for at least most of our audience, the folks listening to this show, relevant to what you do every day, working on websites, writing content, creating content of all shapes and forms, and working inside the digital publishing space to either, you know, earn a livelihood or, you know, maybe, you know, have a little side hustle. Who knows? I know we've got several larger brand, I guess, folks that work at some larger brands that listen to the show as well. And yeah, I think you'll find that there's a little something for everybody in this. So without, sorry, I had to get a drink of water there. I'm on my own, so I don't have anybody to really help me out very much today. Producer Manny is not with me, so you guys will be joining me live from my home. And I want to mention this really quickly here before we go through all these. If I mentioned anything that happens to spark your interest or something you want to learn more about, we will have some companion blogs on the Azoic website that will go alongside this, that you can come and, you know, browse through all the different tools and things like that that I mentioned, as well as you can watch the video. That this will be one of the rare episodes where we've got a companion video still with the podcast. We'll be moving to audio only next year, just based on the fact that we find a lot more engagement in our shorts that we put on to either Twitter or YouTube or our own stuff. And we want to continue to bring you great content. So we want to spend more time just making sure that we've got great content for the podcast. But for this episode, follow along on video, go to the Azoic blog, and we'll have all of that here once again at the end of the show. So it'll be at azoic.com/blog/companion-podcast. So without any further ado, I figured one of the best ways to start would be to start at basically where things got really tricky this year in the world of AI. And there's no better place to start than ChatGPT. And before you turn this off and go, Tyler's going to talk about ChatGPT, I'm pretty well aware. I'm going to give you some little hacks and things like that that I like to use. I know Gerard was on earlier this year, and he was talking a little bit about really some of the tricks of the trade that data scientists will apply when they're working with you know, prompts for generative AI. And I find myself using a lot of those all the time. I learned them on the podcast along with you. So we're going to go through basically starting with AI-based tools, since AI is all the rage. But then we're going to work backwards. So I'm going to start with some of the more complex, sort of like bigger picture items. And then we can work our way all the way down to some really, really basic things. So one of the things I would love to do whenever I do presentations is, you know, kind of start at a level that I feel like everybody is with me. I try to get to a level where maybe only 10% of the room is still with me, and then bring it all the way back to where everybody in the room feels like, okay, I feel like this is at least approachable, or I know how to get started. So that's where we'll start. We'll span a whole depth of everything from content creation to working on your sites to just about everything in between. And we're going to make this a two-parter. I'm going to have a second episode that's more focused on development and sort of like building the next web. And this one's really more focused on content, website building, and some of the more, I guess, regular activities that you would experience as a publisher, whether you're a business or an individual entrepreneur. So here we are in ChatGPT. I'm in ChatGPT-4 because why would I want to use something that's worse than that? ChatGPT 3.5 Turbo is good for many things, but not really as good at things that you need a little bit more complexity with. And while there are a lot of plugins and things like that you can start to access for ChatGPT, and I will mention that this does require the paid ChatGPT Plus or Pro or whatever they call it, which I think is well worth the money. I don't know about any of you, but I find myself using ChatGPT pretty much on a daily basis, and the benefits of using something with the plugins or what I'm going to get into here in a minute are really, I've spent $20 a month on much less, I feel like. So in addition to ChatGPT-4 and, you know, the whole plugin environment, which there's lots of places you can go and find out about the ChatGPT plugins, I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about building your own AIs for just about anything. So I've got a whole bunch of them over here. They've got silly names, so you'll have to pardon the fact that, I like to use silly names because they're for me. And that's what I really like about the new ChatGPT ability to build your own GPT. So you can see here, when I click Explore, I've got the ability to create a GPT. Maybe you've played with this, maybe you haven't. I use it for a lot of different things. So if you can look at some of the use cases that I've got here, I'll walk you through them just to give you a brief idea of some of the, I guess, some limited examples of what you can do with it. So, you know, here I've got one that actually is still untitled, but it is one that is for a development project that uses, I actually put in all the different technologies and, underlying frameworks. So Node.js, Turbo Repo, Vercel, Astro.js, and Sanity Studio. I wanted something that knew exactly, you know, what the latest documentation on these technologies was before I had it give me advice on how to build stuff. Here you've got another one it's called the Enhanced Code Mapper GPT, and it's got expertise in WordPress, Sanity CMS, JavaScript, SEO, and advanced troubleshooting and optimization skills. So this one is very much for exporting content from WordPress into another CMS. This was actually for content for a site of mine. So this one is an MMA data analyst. So this one is basically a historian and data analyst where I gave it a link to a database full of MMA history and event data. And I use it to anytime I have maybe an idea around something that people might think is cool, I'll run it through there and say, hey, what are some, you know, unique observations in this data that maybe are non-intuitive that stick out, and see what pops up. And then that gives me some infographic ideas or maybe some charts or data that I know might do well with my audience. They like that sort of thing. People love charts and infographics and stuff. And especially if it's something that maybe is maybe contrarian in nature, I find that that does really well. Easy Product Image Maker GPT. So this one is, I gave it prompts and examples of images for thumbnails, actually for the Azoic blog. And we use this for a particular type of thumbnail where it will generate it based on examples and things like that we've given it before. And this one uses DALL-E and a number of other things. Overkill GPT, this is actually for a good friend of mine. She's a prominent athlete and figure, and so she's got a lot of information about her on the internet, and oftentimes she'll get asked questions in interviews and different things like that, and she'll have to respond in text. And so we created a little GPT for her that answers most of those questions pretty well, and she can kind of edit it away from there. This one's called the Cash Contract Hacker GPT. And so this one is actually, my wife is a professional athlete, and so she has to sign contracts and different things like that. And while we have a manager and an attorney, it's really nice sometimes to kind of figure out, you know, basically what these contracts are saying, what you're committed to, what the loopholes are, and to poke holes in it. So little contract advisor. Shiba Moose Bot Supreme. Again, funny names for a lot of the things that I create, but this one is actually for a friend of mine that wanted a Chrome extension made. And he kept having more and more features and things like that he wanted added to it. So I was like, hey, if you want to continue to make things like this, I can make you a GPT that will help you build it. Chrome extensions are incredibly easy little devices to make. And so if you have one that has an example of a boilerplate one, it's not very difficult to get it to ask you the right types of questions then to build it for you. So there's another example. If you have expertise on how something needs to be done, you can sort of train these My GPTs to do them for you. And it kind of goes on down from there. Most of these are, again, just building product, projects and things like that using, development languages. But I've actually created one for my wife that actually helps her design posts for social media as well. And it connects directly with her Instagram, analytics and is able to feed back to her sort of, you know, this is what stuff does really well. Here's an idea. Do you like that? No. Okay. Here's another idea. And it really speeds up the process for creating social media content as well. So that's a really good idea of, you know, the types of things you can build with it, but I'm going to give you a couple little hacks for actually building them. So when you create a new GPT, which I'm doing now here on my screen, and if you're just listening, I'll try to walk you through, so you can get an idea of whether or not this is something you'd even want to try. The first thing you have here is a GPT builder. So it just another chatbot, and it's like, what would you like to make? So you can tell it something. You can say, I want a blog post idea creator for my website about panthers. So I'll ask it. It'll say, okay, great. It's building one very specific to that. One of the things that Ezoic CEO Dwayne LaFleur, who we had on last week, mainly because I have access to him through Ezoic and he's easy to get on, but he truly is an expert. And we talked a lot about the future of the web and not really so much about Ezoic as I kind of try to keep this podcast quite a bit separate from my work at Ezoic. And I think that that's something that most of you appreciate. And for that reason, we've kind of strayed from that topic, but when he was on the show, we really didn't get into, you know, the areas that you would expect. And one of the things I found fascinating was his discussion around, large language models and how those things are being broken up right now and why sometimes a ChatGPT might feel like it's getting worse. And it's because they have to sort of break up the things that it's good at into these micro layers. And what this GPT builder seems to essentially be doing is, it is creating a GPT based on all the models that it has, and it's letting you load up the best versions of the ones that you would likely need. The general GPT may be such a large, heavy monster at this point that to give that to everybody in its best form would just be very expensive and maybe not even scalable. So GPT Builder allows you to say, these are the sort of functions that I would need. So it created it for me. It's asking me if the name's fine. I say yes. You can always rename it and add stuff to it in the configure menu over here. There's a tab at the top that allows you to, you know, change the name and the description. And you can actually import data if you have data in a JSON format or a schema of some kind. You can even give it links. You can take away the ability for it to look and render images and give it the ability to crawl websites. A lot of really helpful things that I think you'll find are pretty, pretty nice to have. And it also gives you a little preview over here on the right side of the menu, so you can kind of test it as you go. Now, it's generated a profile picture. It's asking me now questions. For instance, should it prioritize conservation, history, mythology, or something else? You might want to say all of it. But what I was saying earlier was that maybe it's giving you these things in layers. So all of it, it might not be as specific as I would like. So it says, when generating blog post ideas, should the GPT also offer brief outlines or just the titles and themes? I'm going to say it depends on what I need. And it'll come back and it'll, well, it said something's gone wrong now. We'll try it again, GPT. And as it, there it goes, and now it's updating. And so it'll build this GPT for me. It asked me if I wanted to have a sense of humor. No, I would, no sense of humor. I don't want the chit chat with it. But the GPT will update. And once I'm finished going through the prompts that it has for me, one of the things that I like to ask, and this is really, this has been something that's helped a ton with the results that I get back from these, that is, I will say, what is it missing? So it's basically done now, and it says, you can test it out and let me know if there's anything you'd like to refine further. And I'm going to ask it, what is missing that you believe would further help me use this to find unique ideas for content on Panthers that a Panther loving audience would like? So what it's going to do now is it will tell me essentially what materials or what prompts or what models that I may be missing inside of my GPT that are going to make it better. So I'm asking it, hey, this is what I want it for, but you know better than me. What is going to make this great? So it says, to make Panther Post Prowler, that's what it named itself, even more effective, it can include the latest research and trends in Panther-related topics. Well, I assumed that was in there, GPT. Understand the audience's demographic to tailor their content and suggest multimedia elements to enhance blog posts. Would you like these features to be a part of its capabilities? Now, imagine if all those things it just mentioned weren't in my GPT. I mean, those things I think are pretty paramount to this thing doing a good job. So I'm going to say, yes, please add them. And now I've just made my GPT quite a bit better. And it'll go ahead and finish up here. If you ever want to go over to the configure menu, you can give it a thumbnail and you can give it, you know, default conversation starters. You can upload files. If there's, you know, data that you're like, I need it to know this, you can give it the capability to browse the web, create images and interpret code, among other things. So some pretty cool stuff there. But now we're going to fare away from ChatGPT a little bit. And let's say you don't want to build your own GPT. You just want to use something that somebody else that knows what they're doing has already made. That's where I'm a big fan of Flow GPT. There's quite a few of these out here, but I found this one to be one of the just the most approachable and easiest to use. So if you go to flowgpt.com, you'll find a pretty friendly menu here where it gives you just, I would guess, thousands, if not tens of thousands of pre-created GPTs that people have made publicly available. And this is actually before just ChatGPT. So you can put your own ChatGPT API in here, or you can piggyback off of many of the ones that people have already applied. Some of these don't even use ChatGPT. They use a combination of ChatGPT and other large language models, because some of the other ones are quite good at all kinds of things. So you can see here, there's some that are relevant for publishing, and some that aren't, but you can see they've got a latest section. They've got some that, basically respond as characters from movies, television, history, you know, like, it could be interesting if you had a history site and you were like, what would Abraham Lincoln think of the current, war in Ukraine? Might be a controversial topic. Maybe not one you want Abraham Lincoln to approach, but yeah, just to give you an idea of how some of these can be made relevant if you know your audience well enough. Prompt engineering, so a whole set of GPTs just based on helping you write better prompts. Creative, so you've got everything from Midjourney, which is a image generation, and you know, things like Stable Diffusion for that sort of thing, to ones that are book writers, storytellers, music creators, script writers, artists of different shapes and styles. Programming, if you need anything from a WordPress plugin to a Chrome extension made, they have GPTs in here that are especially designed to walk you through that. So this is one that I've actually used before, this Chrome extension one. We'll take a look at it. So it says Chrome extension full autocoder. So says, thank you for choosing me to help you with your Chrome extension idea. Before we get started, please consider to ask me to vote for some kind of contest. Please provide me with your Chrome extension idea and additional features you would like to see implemented. So if I, let's see, I might actually have a chat with one of these guys already loaded up. Nope. It didn't save it. All right. Well, too bad. In the past I've used this, that particular one, and found it pretty good. But even if I don't have that one, you know, a Chrome extension that, that changes all pictures on a web page to dogs. So now, after I said I want to create a Chrome extension that changes all the pictures on a web page to dogs, you can see here that it gives me about four different functionalities that it's going to need. It's asking me to review it, and then it says, let's move on to step two. And this is how it works, and this is how a lot of these in here work, where it's very, very, it sort of like drags out of you what it needs. And unfortunately, ChatGPT is not quite as good at that as some of these sort of pre-engineered ones. So if you're ever like, I want to do something with, you know, a GPT, but even the ones that I create, it just doesn't seem like it's giving me what I need. Flow GPT may be a good solution if there's a GPT that somebody else has made that's hyper engineered, and this it's largely free to use. You can use your own GPT APIs and things like that, that if you have a subscription to one. Otherwise, you know, I think it's a credit based system. So after a little while, you may have to buy some credits or subscribe. But yeah, it's free to get started, and I imagine you would know if it's going to be worth it well before you'd ever have to shell out a dime for anything. Moving on to our next item, Copilot Live. So Copilot.live, it's a AI assistant. We've heard a lot about copilots and agents and things like that this year. This is just one of many. It is a paid product, but it allows you to basically create browser automated tasks that a copilot can do for you. So everything from being, you know, maybe going through your website and, you know, clicking on something, or dragging and dropping something, or, you know, even copy pasting stuff from one browser to another, those sort of repetitive tasks. I can't tell you how many times I've had things where I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do this. But if there is, I literally can't think of it or research it enough to be able to warrant the time that it's going to take to do that versus just manually do it all myself. Well, with something like a copilot, you could essentially just do it once, record the activity using basically it just kind of screen records for you, and let that thing go to town whenever, you know, you're working in another window, or you have it running in the background, or maybe just while you're making lunch. It's a pretty nice simple automation. You can get more complex, but yeah, next time you've got something very manual, that's going to maybe take you a while, maybe give, one of these copilots out here, a shot. Copilot.live is the one that, was just mentioning. This is one so the next item we have is a product that I mentioned, I think probably mid-year on the show. It's called PicoApps.xyz, and it is a micro, web app creator. So based on a prompt, it'll say basically like, what would you like to make? And it can make very simple tools like calculators, quizzes, you know, it can, file converters, image optimizers. So a lot of the little things that may be specific to your site. If you are, let's say a, auto mechanic, and you, have a website on, you know, various parts that work across, I don't know, different types of vehicles, or, you know, is it outdated? Could be a web app that you create where if somebody is coming to the site because they want to find out if maybe a Honda Civic part works on the newer and the older models, you just say, put the, you know, item in here, and we'll tell you if it's outdated or not. You could give it a URL of, you know, maybe an area on your website where it could fetch the info, and it does all the work, creates the interface for you, and then you could just embed that little tool on your website. You can actually go through their showcase. So if you go to picoapps.xyz, there's a whole host of places. So they've got a SQL query generator, a tweet generator, YouTube playlist scraper, self-criticism reframer, lead generation apps they've got here, our courage ladder for the Duff the Psychics course, meditation recommender for the 13th day studio, digital board games, penguin clicker game, weather apps, slot machines, radio stations. Yeah, so just about everything you can think of has been built with this. And like I said, they're not going to be incredibly sophisticated software that they make here, but just little apps. If there's like a little tool or something like that that might draw on your audience or draw traffic to your site, these are really great options. Another really great sort of thing that you can kind of speed up with the use of AI, especially if you're someone that maybe is not incredibly artistically inclined, but know the importance of something like a thumbnail. So maybe you're just getting started in video and, you know, you recognize that YouTube thumbnails are a really big deal, or you want to start getting better about, you know, engaging an audience on social media, or even through your OG images that show in both search results and just about anything that someone would post a link into. Pixels, which is PIKZELS.com, is a automatic thumbnail creator. So it creates these, you know, sort of like engaging thumbnails specific for, you know, publishing, really. You know, generating an image and generating a good image for a thumbnail are quite a bit different. So this is one you could give a try if you're like, hey, I could really, you know, see my site doing a lot better if I could just be a little bit more engaging on the thumbnail side. You know, this one's loaded up with some pretty good, you know, direction on how to do that, and it makes it pretty easy. I think if you want to pay for it, you can do some of this stuff in bulk and go back and do a bunch of your old thumbnails and things along those lines. I mentioned the browser automation earlier with the agents and the copilots. Here's another example, and I just mentioned this one because it has a nice interface. So if you are maybe intimidated by the, you know, the process of getting started, you can kind of go to this one, aiemploye.com, and it's aiemploye.com. They left the other E off of employee. I don't know why. Probably taken. Somebody out there listening to the show owns that domain name, I'm sure. And if you go to their homepage, you can see they've got a nice little demo here. But let's say you just wanted to automate email outreach for link building, or which I'm not a huge fan of, but I know a lot of you are. You could automate various email processes and things like that just straight from Gmail. Have this thing record your behaviors and things like that. You can get a really good idea of what it can do here. It can be a research assistant that understands, you know, things unique to your process and workflows. So it says automate any complex task, just describe it. And so this one makes it as easy as either recording your screen or even just prompting it on what you want it to do and when. So another really cool AI tool that can help you really just get stuff done faster. It's one of the things we talked about a lot this year on the podcast, was not necessarily, you don't want to use AI to replace you. You're what makes the content good. If you're using AI to basically run your business and go to the beach, I hate to say it, but I think that's a little bit, I think that's pie in the sky. And I think ultimately it's going to be a pretty bad losing strategy. I find it quite arrogant in some cases that people think that, that content is that easy. It's not. It's the thing that AI really does well for content creators and publishers is that it allows you to get your ideas and the content that you imagine out into your audience. In some cases, I would say 10 to 20 times faster. So that's really what I would imagine all of these different AI tools can help with. This one, we're going to shift. So now we're going to start getting more and more specific, and we're going to probably start getting away from, you'll start hearing AI less, and you'll start seeing more sort of like, I can use that right now. That's just, you know, something I would use, as opposed to maybe something that's, you know, maybe something you'd experiment with, I should say. And this one is, this one's called Stems, and it's at stems.app. And if you've ever heard of a stem machine made popular most recently by Kanye West, as controversial as a figure as he is, a stem machine has been well known inside of audio broadcasting for a while, as it basically breaks apart all the different layers of audio. So if you record a musical track, for example, you may have the guitar as a track, the drums a track, the vocals are a track. But if you wanted to do, you know, something where you were going to remix that music, you would want all those tracks differently, because you may want to, you know, you may want to speed up the guitar, slow down the drums, change the tone. I don't know, all the different things you can do to music. I'm not a music producer. But you can imagine where this might come in handy too, when it comes to, maybe, you know, altering the audio on some of your existing videos, or augmenting existing videos, or maybe even pulling videos off of someplace else and then layering in your own audio. Or maybe you have something that generates audio for you, but there's something in there you don't like. You can sort of break apart this stuff if you want to just isolate the vocals off of a video and bring them into something else. This is a really great, just simple way of doing that. So this is just a little piece of software. You download it and then you just upload YouTube URLs, upload a file and say create stems, and it breaks down every layer of audio in there. So if you have a YouTube video, you want to just steal the, you know, maybe just the sound effects or the person talking off of, there you go. Pretty neat little tool. One of the things that I think is a big innovation this year is 3D. And I don't mean just for AR or VR, but I mean just the web. If you look at where a lot of developer time and energy and where the majority of framework innovation is right now, it is in 3D. And while that may seem intimidating, you're like, I'm not making a 3D website. I'd argue that that just about everybody listening to this that thinks that that's something that they would never do, I would say just take a look at some of the tools I'll mention here briefly, because I think you might change your mind. So Spline Design is a open source software, and it's one of the most popular ones. And you can kind of see here how it allows you to sort of like drag this little character here around on this map in 3D and change the directions and orientations. Spline actually has a really great interface. It operates a lot like something like Figma, if you're familiar with it. So here I've got the Mac app pulled up now on my screen, but it looks a lot like Figma, as I mentioned before. And if you haven't used Figma before, it's a little bit Canva, a little bit Photoshop. It's pretty intuitive and easy to get started using, except everything is in 3D. And if you're like, I don't really know where to start, I'm not much of an artist, you can go to their community in similar fashion as you can with something like Figma, and basically just start working off of the thousands of examples of other people's projects that they've left open that you can go in and just grab off the shelf and just start working on. You can say, I want to remix this, and immediately you'll get a chance to start working on it. I clicked remix, and then I'm just going to go to my home over here. There it is. So I clicked on a project inside of their community, and you can see here now, oh wow, I got my own 3D cube. So if I've never used this thing before, I can click around and get an idea of how this works. So you can see I can move it around on the page here, I can distort it, and then over here I've got all kinds of options and things like that for editing, even AI. So just prompt it. You don't even need to learn how to use all the controls to get started. So if you want to add some really cool 3D elements, maybe some maps or some diagrams or something to your site just to get started, Spline's a good option. The alternative to something like Spline is this product called Rive. Rive is a lot more focused on animating these sorts of things. So, and not just in 3D, but just bringing like a video game-esque type form of user interface or navigation or you name it to your website. Rive helps you do that. So like good example, so this is a kind of like cyberpunk-esque style example that we have here, I guess over here in the left side of the screen for those that are watching, but you can kind of imagine what you think, you know, the Terminator's viewport might look like if you were the Terminator and to look out into the world, very cyber-esque type menu, not something you'd see on a traditional website, but the tooling and the animations and the things like that, you can actually design in something like Rive, and then it makes it really easy. You can either embed it, iframe it, if you're using something other than like a WordPress or a CMS, you're using, you know, something that allows you to input JavaScript or React. It's an installable package that you can then use. So yeah, just another really cool way of just expanding sort of like the capabilities of your website in a approachable way that doesn't require necessarily technical expertise, but maybe learning to use some design tools more so than some development ones. And while it may sound intimidating, 3JS at 3js.org is pretty much it is the most popular framework for 3D stuff that you're seeing people build on the web. And it's what a lot of people are using for the basis for things like Apple's new vision. And before you're like, JS, I'm not interested, Tyler, move on. Why didn't you include this in the episode on, you know, building things and stuff like that? I'm going to skip that episode and I want you to know it. Maybe I'm being maybe too sort of combative with myself there in my own dialogue. But the thing that I like about 3JS is if you go to 3js.org/editor, you can get an idea of what I'm showing everybody right now, but it doesn't look like code at all, right? Yeah, that's because it's not. You can basically go in here. So you can see I clicked on add capsule here and now I've got one. It looks much more like Spline or Rive or something like that. It's a design tool. There's no coding. Most of what you're going to find yourself doing in something like a 3JS is you can see here how just moving my mouse around, I'm making this capsule just kind of like swing around on the page like a catapult. Yeah, I would say definitely check it out because this is one of the easiest things to add to just about any site. If you can design something in here that you would want to use, I promise you adding it to your site, there's more than enough integrations, documentation, and export options that would be available. And as we wind down this episode, you can see I've got a number of things still loaded up here. I'll save some of these for the episode on development, but as we move through some of the last of the AI stuff, again, you know, sometimes specific AI is better than broad, and Fot.ai, which I think is supposed to be Fot.ai, I don't know. It's Phot.ai. I mean, you guys are buying up all the domain names, so there's not much left, you know? And it says, bring your creative vision to life with whatever they're calling themselves. Experience the power of complete image editing. So what this is basically a prompt-based Photoshop. It's a simplified way of basically saying like, look, I'm not trying to edit a lot of things. It's not my forte, but I want to remove maybe a pole in the background of an image, or I want to change the color. I want to make this black and white, but I just don't want to I don't want to buy a tool. I don't want to use a tool. I just want to tell something what I want done to the image and have it done. There's a couple of these out there. This one is either a freemium one or has a very cheap paid plan after you get started with it, and it's phot.ai. There's another one called Recraft. So this one's if you wanted to be a little bit more involved, if you wanted to be maybe a hybrid between something like a Canva or a Sketch or a Figma and basically what we were just talking about, a prompt-based sort of editor. This one kind of finds that balance and it's called Recraft. It's recraft.ai. And then this is one that I find really helpful a lot of times because I'm using tools oftentimes to create basically images for something. So Dream Studio is my go-to. I love Dream Studio for image generation. Midjourney is great. I find that something like Stability AI generally provides me with a lot more of what I would want or need. So you can see here, it's just a really basic sort of interface where on the left hand side of the screen inside of Dream Studio after logging in, just says prompt and then it asks me to choose a style, and it gives me, you know, little example thumbnails that I can click on, photographic, digital art, comic book. There's about a dozen here. You can give it a negative prompt. You can upload an image for it to work off of, and then you can set, you know, image sizes and counts, and then say dream, and it'll start making it. The problem is that sometimes you don't know what styles, or maybe sometimes you want a style that, like, it's hard to put into words. So freeflow.ai is a, it basically creates reusable generative AI style prompts for better images. So it gives you this huge library of different styles that people have prompted AI to generate. And it gives you an idea. So everything from like a cartoon to like very photo real to like a painting to, you know, realistic to, you know, a dream. Sometimes you can picture in your mind's eye what you want, but you just can't seem to transplant that to generative AI. This sort of solves that problem. So I like to use this in combination with something like Dream Studio. And then we'll leave the rest of this, I think, probably for the next episode. So in the next episode, I'm going to get into basically tools that I like to use to build sites and build web and create software and even create content. And not just regular written content, but content that's maybe a little bit more interactive and maybe more engaging and maybe more targeted towards something that my audience might really think is cool or really want or need, that maybe I didn't have the capability of building before, or maybe I just don't know where to start. Everything from, you know, animations to diagrams to and doing these things really well, basically getting a masterclass in some of these things in an instant. So that's what we'll be doing in our next episode, where we continue on this journey of just kind of like going through a lot of the innovative new tools and some of the modern tools that I would say I've either heard from publishers that they really like or found myself using this year. And hopefully it's something that you guys find helpful and usable. Again, you can go to ezoic.com/blog/companion-podcast, and you can get the companion blog that goes alongside this to get a better idea of exactly what types of tools that were mentioned in this, get the links to them, and last but not least, watch the video. You can kind of watch my screen as I go through these things. It might not be the most exciting thing in the world, but if you found something as we went through this that was helpful, or maybe even just you wanted to see what I was talking about, go and watch it on thepublisherlab.org. Leave us a question, comment. If you have more questions about any of the tools I've gone through, get them in. Let's see. Maybe before I record the next one, you guys will have a chance to give me some feedback and let me know. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time on The Publisher Lab.